item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the meeting in council held on the 22nd of November and the 6th of December as published in the council of works website.
Approved.
Okay, is that seconded? Okay. All in favour?
Aye.
Apologies for absence.
Mr. Mayor, I have apologies to Councillors Brown, Agella, Corbyn and Green.
Declarations of interest? No? Okay. Announcements? Just two. First of all, I've organised a quiz with the... Well, I say I've organised it. My Deputy Mayor has organised the quiz. And this is very well supported. And I'd like to thank members for their support. And I'm sure it's going to be a very enjoyable evening with a variety of questions. Hopefully they're a bit easier than the Sunday questions that he posts on the council email. We're also going to have an antique evening featuring Charles Hanson, and invites for this will be sent out shortly. Public question time. Council session. Notice of motion. Item 8, the General Fund Revenue Budget and Capital Programme for 2023-26. Councillor Smith.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Well, here we are. My last proposals for the budget for this council. I think most of you know that 12 months ago I decided I wouldn't be standing for next year. I think it's fair to say, following the traumatic events that I suffered last summer, I made the right decision. And I have to say, had it not been for some very clever and very skillful people, I wouldn't be standing here today. Mr. Mayor, the first draft of this budget was approved by the Cabinet in early December. And that report has been through all the scrutiny committees. And just a few days before Christmas, we received the government settlement, which contains some good news for local government in general, in that the concern over business rate reset, has been postponed yet again. And we know, because of Stafford's success in attracting new business in recent years, that would have been more damaging to us than to many other local authorities, because they have had a much poorer record of attracting new business. At the same time, our new home bonus has been calculated to give us more than we expected. And while we know inflation is bad, but for everyone, but the one plus is that interest rates have increased, and we've had more investment income than was predicted. You will recall from the initial report that led to scrutiny that despite identifying £876,000 worth of savings, we predicted a deficit of about £900,000 for the forthcoming year. Well, you can see from this report, prepared by our new 151 officer, that while most of his predecessor's predictions were accurate, he was unable to predict that the government would make two new substantial grants. These two grants, which has to be stressed, like last year's grants, are one-off. They're a funding guarantee grant of £1.594 million and a core spending grant, a power grant, of £110,000. And like members opposite, I am disappointed that yet again we only have information for 1 year. Nevertheless, these two grants have virtually eliminated the deficit of £900K, and you can see that on table 2 on page 10. And that deficit was, as I say, only predicted a month ago. Also, as a result of those grants, they enabled us to set up a new reserve so that the borrowing requirement to support the future High Street project is removed. And that said, the identified savings are still required, fully justifying the path we've taken in respect of shares, a share management team to deliver more shared services. If you look at the table, those that item makes up part of savings. So we're delivering this budget despite inflation at 10% or more. We have increased some charges by over 5% and frozen a number of charges, in particular parking charges, the brown bin fee, taxi licences and markets. Not only that, we are assisting 1,700 of our least well-off residents by removing their requirement to pay any council tax at all. Then if you look at the capital programme, you can see commitments to Westbridge Park in Stone, the Station Gateway project, and improvements to the town centre via the Future High Streets Fund, which I've said we do not now need to borrow to fund our share. All this positive news, Mr. Mayor, with just a 1.9% increase in council tax, or just 6 pence a week. And I'm proud to say that we've now kept our promise of council tax increases of below inflation for 20 years. And they say politicians can't be trusted, Mr. Mayor. In fact, the only thing wrong with the budget is that we should say we're reducing it by 1.9%, but I can't afford that. Had the council tax gone up by inflation over those 20 years, it would now be £249.59. Instead, it is £168.52. Over this 20-year period of inflation has been 80%, our council tax has increased by 35%. Summarising the report, we have successfully navigated our way through the pandemic. We're now working through the cost of living crisis. High inflation and rising interest rates are bringing fresh challenges to both the council and residents. But through prudent management of our resources, we are presenting the budget which seeks to minimise the impact on the residents in terms of increasing their costs from the council while still delivering services. Yes, we are having to make savings, but the overall financial position of this council is healthy, even if future local government funding is uncertain. The borough is well placed to build on its solid position and indeed thrive over the longer term. Those are not just my words, Mr. Mayor, they are the words of our peer group and our auditors. In my 20 years, Mr. Mayor, as a cabinet member, we have delivered major projects. 2 new leisure centres, £2 million towards the Western Access Road, 3 destination parks, plus the refurbishment of Victoria Park, admittedly with some 106 money and grants, but with substantial sums of our own. And of course, we established Stafford Rural Homes, relieving this council of a £12 million black hole at the time. All done by continually improving and increasing efficiencies while keeping the council tax substantially below the level of inflation. And I hope my successors will continue with that good work. I move the report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you,
sir.
Second in the reserve right to speak, Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, to begin with, my thanks to all the officers who've been involved in the construction of the budget this year. For all their hard work and efforts, despite all the difficulties that this government has thrown in their way, particularly for the late figures which we received, and also the fact that so many of these are on a one-year basis, Cabinet Finance Chief has alluded to. I also want to say thank you to the Cabinet Member for Finance for all the work he's done for the Council over the year, for the wonderful service that he's given to this Council. and I want to wish him a long and happy retirement from this council.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Now for politics. Mr. Mayor, I could go on to berate the controlling group for years of not incrementally increasing the council tax base, thus contributing to the problems which they now face. On top of a government that has since 2010 slashed local government to the bone.
Yep.
I could have said all of that. I could also have said all the services, talked about all the services that have been cut since 2003. But I'll leave those rather than necessary, Mr. Mayor. I'm here actually, Mr. Mayor, not to bring problems, but to solve them. For those of you who may remember the 1980s, I'm sure most of you do, you remember William Whitelaw, Willie Whitelaw, of whom Margaret Thatcher said, "Other ministers bring me problems. This one brings me solutions," and she must refer to those. She also famously said, you may remember, "Every prime minister needs a Willie." Well, Mr. Mayor, well, and she couldn't understand why people were laughing at her. She was alluding to Willie Whitelaw. Nothing else. Well, Mr. Mayor, I am here tonight to play Willie Whitelaw against the cabinet members Margaret Thatcher. Mr. Mayor, we've all seen, no doubt, this report in the newsletter. It's not often one brandishes a copy of the newsletter around. This report in the newsletter last week. And it says, it alludes, of course, to the proposal to end car parking, concessionary car parking, in the run-up to Christmas. And it condemns it as Scrooge-like and shouting bah humbug in the face of the borough public. It's not a good look, is it? But, Mr. Mayor, I've a solution to this. And this is my modest proposal. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make an amendment to the budget that the sum for concessionary parking be not removed from the 2023-24 budget, and that the £15,000 cost be taken from the £25,000 which was to have been transferred to balances in 22-23. Now, we've had an allusion to these figures before, and you will see that on page 6, that's table 1, about halfway down, it does say remove concessionary parking, and for 23-24 that will be £15,000. Well, now, we've got some new figures, of course, for the forecast outturn for 22-23, which you'll find on page 10, and you'll see that now we are transferring £25,000 to balances. Now, why not give the residents of the borough a Christmas present to show some generosity of spirit? To help them, don't forget, we're likely to be in some problems next winter as well. The cost of living crisis is not going to evaporate, unfortunately. It will come back next winter when fuel prices start rising again. So they could do with a bit of a help. And I'm sure the traders could do with a bit of a help. Because the concessionary parking will help people to come into town, do their shopping. That'll be good for traders. So it's a win-win. It's a win for consumers, and it's a win for traders, and actually it's a win-win-win, because it'll also be a win for this council, because people think more positively about the council, but they've been given a Christmas present. Because things were a little bit better on the figures, we were able to do that. And you can still put, £10,000 into balances if you like, but don't forget, we've got enough money in balances anyway. We've got millions in reserves, so we should be okay, for a bob or two. But you've got to put £10,000 in anyway. So, Mr. Mayor, that is going to be my present to you, my solution for the council, and I hope we can agree on that and have a cross-party agreement. Wouldn't that be fine? Thank you very much.
Is that seconded?
Seconded, Mr. Mayor.
Does anybody want to respond or with respect to the vote?
Yes, I would refer the council to page 6 again. My colleague has mentioned the Scrooge bit. If you look down the list there, two-thirds of the way down, efficiency in bedding, flowers and cauldrons. I'd like to remind or bring to the attention of the new members of the council that we actually won Britain in Bloom on one occasion. People came from all over the area to see the flowers and shop in the town. And so I do feel that reducing the budding flowers and displays, I think, is a rather foolish way to save a bit of money. And like my colleague, we should do something for the people who pay the council tax.
Councillor Barrow.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I totally agree with Councillor Cook, and I totally agree with Councillor Kennedy. By reducing the car park from 2 weeks to 4 business to save £15,000 out of this budget, is telling people to go to 3 out-of-town car parking, where they're shopping, where there's car parking. It's not bringing people into the town. If you want to bring people into the town, we have to give them a free car parking. And I totally agree with Councillor Kent about the flowers. I actually not my husband, and about street scene. It's what are the cuts that we're going to make in street scene? What are the cuts that we're going to make in flowers? Because people, it's amazing how many people who do come into town say to me, you know how wonderful the flowers are, and how marvellous street scenes do in front of the council. They do a fantastic job throughout the world. And I really do think putting anything in there is absolutely good. And I really can't believe it.
Any other comments before I put the amendment to the vote? So, the amendment is that the sum for concessionary parking not be removed from the 2023-24 budget, and that the 15,000 cost be taken from the £25,000, which is to be transferred to the balances in 2022-23. That's been proposed and seconded. All those in favour of the amendment? Those against? The amendment is lost. Moving on then to the. Anybody else want to speak on the. Councillor Sheard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It will be 4 years, probably, since this council passed a motion declaring a climate emergency and vowing that by 2040 this council will become carbon neutral. At least 2 years ago, I raised the issue of how the council is going to because of the change in constitution, was referred automatically to the cabinet. To my knowledge, the cabinet had never considered that motion. And of course, in this budget, we see no provision at all for work in terms of tackling climate change. I understand that the Kenneth Chase Council has in fact undertaken work to establish the cost, at least, of doing this. And they are looking at taking positive steps. I appreciate that things have been done, I'm not saying nothing has happened, but there has been no provision made financially to undertake this work. I think that is a very poor reflection on the council. I know that the cabinet members of finance have been mentioned amongst the various achievements the council has made, and I think it makes the job of the council from this point on all the more difficult, because the longer we put off taking real action to tackle climate change, the more difficult it's going to become. Thank you.
Councillor McHugh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll try to follow up. And I'll shout. Okay. On page 55, in reference to the memorandum of the levelling up programme presents a major financial risk to this council, and that it is difficult, or will prove difficult, to actually deliver. So the question is, to the cabinet member, is the levelling up offer good or bad to satisfy?
The question is directed at me, and I think there are two parts to it. One is the levelling up fund announcement that's taking place. The other is the High Street Fund, which is a totally different pot of money. Now, we're not successful in winning the levelling up fund round this time. We were one of 80% of authorities that didn't get it, but we were one of the authorities that was put forward to it. There are opportunities to look at other appropriate funding, and we should continue to do that, and I'm very optimistic that we will be successful, not least because we have such an excellent track record, and I'll come to it when I deal with my piece. When it comes to the Future High Streets Fund, I can't see any reason why anyone should be suggesting that we will fail to meet our commitments under the Future High Streets Fund. I'm very confident again that we are going to meet our deadlines. The work has begun already, as those of you who are inconvenienced by gates and fences and bits of machinery will see, because the work a month ago has begun. The work at the station will be beginning shortly, and further work will begin within the next 6-12 months. So rest assured, we are doing pretty well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the question. So, firstly, Stafford Council, as far as climate change is concerned, has now been classed with a paper that I'm bringing forward shortly, which will demonstrate the work that we are doing with the funds that we have had available now leads as a regional leader. We've come third in the county and the West Midlands for the work that we are doing around climate change. I've had several calls to request funding for several aspects of work that we've been doing on climate change, and the Cabinet have always agreed to that. So from a funding perspective, we are okay. The Labour-led council over in Cannock initially decided that they would go down the 2030 route for climate change, and I believe that they've recently costed this with the new administration, as it's now a Conservative-led, at a fee of over £1 billion to deliver everything that they were achieving, and I believe now that they've changed that date realistically to something that they can achieve, which is the same as ourselves. This allows us to use the money that we have when we need it to deliver the things that we do. I am confident we will deliver that 2040 target, and we will go above and beyond the work that we're doing. I think we are an absolutely extraordinary leading council when it comes to climate change, and as you can see from the progress reports and the board of course that you sit on, Councillor Pearce, you will see the immense work that we do as an authority with a small team to achieve those climate change objectives. I'm very proud of the work that we're doing at the moment and where we are with that.
Councillor Barnett.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wonder if the Council member could explain to me, please, about the reduction in leisure services, for example, in tourism. Because, as members will know, we've got tourists coming to Stafford, not only from all Stafford, but from around the country, and in fact from around the world. And to cut, I'd like to know where these cuts are coming from, because if I look down these columns, the cut in total expenditure is going down by £10,000. It's going down quite substantially. It isn't going down there. But it's still going down substantially. And I should be quite honest with you. I really think that to cut tourism, where we're trying to encourage people to come to Stafford, is the wrong way around. I really do think it's just better.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to, first of all, endorse what my colleague has said about the hard work done by your officers. And refer back to our cabinet members who referred to the fact that we have our balances maintained, we have had our budget maintained. And I'd like to point out, Mr. Mayor, that this has actually come about as a result of the revenue papers about savings, and the savings have been in staff services staff. That is the staff that we are employing, the staff of our council. We read tonight accounts here where there have been savings on staffing. And we've also been told in one of the records is due is by way of page, it's page 75.11, there's a reference to staffing and post-op in the film because we are looking to see what happens whenever the university extends. And when we are faced with this staff not being replaced, because that's what's happened, they're leaving the post that we are vacated, then we maintain our services, most of our services that is, by actually putting more pressure onto the staff that we have. We know our staff are all working exceptionally hard, we can't work any harder, but we do in fact have posts which are becoming vacant and they're not being filled. Indeed, this year we have lost senior staff from many of our service areas. We've lost them from Speaksy, we've lost them from Human Resources, we've lost them from Environmental Services, we've lost them from Corporate Business and Partnerships, as well as from Development. I think we've also been told this year about two members of the senior management team who have retired from grounds of ill health. And I need to say we need to look very seriously at these vacant posts that we are carrying. I know that we have in fact appointed some very, very experienced officers who I know we can rely upon to give us excellent service. But whilst they're boasting about this fact that we have paid for our balances and the balances are well, don't forget that we aren't paying at all for it elsewhere. And you should be thinking about that tonight. Not only patting ourselves in the back and saying you have done a great job. You have, and officers have done a great job. But it's time to consider the stress you're putting on your staff. Another point I'd like to make is we have hired another company. We hired Dr. Leisure and Bath Services to announce an outside company. We're shoveling money into that other company, and yet we are still having to cut one of our main services. And that main service we are cutting is in actual fact Shakespeare the Castle. We're shoveling the money into this company to provide our art services and our leisure services. And this one service that the people of Stafford and the visitors of Stafford look forward to every summer, I.e. Shakespeare the Castle, has been completely wiped out. So by all means, pat yourselves in the back and say you've done a great job. You've got your budget balanced. Yes, your budget's balanced. So don't forget what I said tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to respond to Councillor Barron's point. Actually, tourism and the visitor economy in this borough is a really good news story. I think I'm not sure what the figures represent, but that's an ongoing budget. What we are doing is to share with the rest of the county. One of the things that I think we really understand with tourism is that the wider the tourism economy is, the more valuable it is in terms of attracting people, not just by the day visiting, but for overnight stays and for weekends and weeks. So we have joined with the Destination Management Partnership in helping to fund the work that they are doing. It's also fair to say that tourism in this borough is the second biggest economic tourism enterprise in the county after the Staffordshire Moorlands and Peak District. People don't appreciate and understand that. In many ways, perhaps the borough didn't understand that for a long time. We have some very big attractions here in this borough. We also have some very small bed and breakfast attractions and so on, so we cover a very wide range of interest and demand from the general public of all kinds, whether they're young people, older people, or even foreign tourists. And until recently, of course, our business tourism sector is also doing extraordinarily well, and it will come back, places like the Market Conference Centre and the Staffordshire Showground are all extremely well filled. Both of those are well filled. We have had some important funding from the government and the UK, various UK funds, and we'll probably come back to as well what that's specifically for tourism. And there are two lots. One is for tourism across the whole of the borough, and the other is specifically to support rural tourism, which is meant to be a very exciting opportunity for us. In terms of post-COVID funds and during the COVID period, we were able to put a lot of money into our tourism businesses to support them so that they have been able to keep going throughout this period and are now coming back to life. So please don't look at these meager figures and think that we don't have a thriving tourist economy. We really do, and these figures don't reflect any of that. £16,640 is just a base of the contribution that this fire is making to tourism across the country.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I just wanted to mention about Shakespeare at the Castle. We're not losing Shakespeare. Shakespeare has been with us 30 years, Mr. Mayor, 30 years. So Freedom Leisure are trying something different for 1 year. They're trying absolutely trust that Freedom Leisure can try to make Shakespeare work, not costing the borough anything. So if they want to try it out for a year, I have absolutely no issues with it at all. And I just wanted to thank the cabinet member for my budget for leisure, because as you will see throughout this, every single building stays open, we lose nothing. And this is just proof that health and leisure is so important in Saturday. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening. I wanted to make just a few comments in four areas. First of all, I wanted to echo the thanks to not just our financial officers for creating the budget, but also to all of the Borough Council's officers. I reflect back, and we were in this chamber back in 2020, having some very similar debates. I don't think anyone would have seen at that stage what has effectively transpired over the last 3 years, with not only the pandemic but the cost of living, the living crisis, and actually the impact that those have had on our offices, whether it is in terms of trying to distribute funding, trying to work from home, trying to manage sickness, or so many other things. So I think it's those comments are well placed, and I would like just to echo those. I do want to pick up the comments in terms of leisure services, because I find them rather amusing, in as much as actually the impact of the pandemic, which led to much of leisure services being closed for a significant period of time, as well as the cost of living crisis, which has suddenly shot up the cost of energy, would have fallen on either an outside contractor or the Borough Council, and the fact that actually we took the big and brave and bold decisions to use a more cost-effective way of delivering leisure services whilst maintaining frontline services, I think is a good demonstration of this council's and this Conservative council's ability to take big, bold decisions, despite them being criticised. I think equally we talked about the costs within the council, and actually if you look over the last 8-10 years, actually we've reduced our cost base of delivering council services by £2 million, equivalent to 13% reduction. £2 million on a budget of 16, and I think what that demonstrates really, really keen is clearly is that we've maintained all frontline services, and we only take money from residents because in the end that is where we're funded from if we absolutely need to run these services, rather than just necessarily putting up council tax, because frankly that is the easy decision. The more difficult decision and brave decision is to make sure we run cost effectively. I also just wanted to reflect on the balanced parts of the budget, both financially as well as actually I think that it is a balanced ask of our residents. We're asking for a 1.99% increase on council tax, when actually the reality is that many of our residents are seeing that squeeze, that cost of living squeeze that is putting them in a position where they have to think about heating or eating. And I think this is a balanced way forward and achieves a number of things. Finally, just in terms of summing up, Mr. Mayor, I did want to say that actually over a consistently long period of time, the LGA through its peer review has seen us as a financially well-run council. We've delivered operational savings without risk to frontline services. We've delivered a cost-effective council and a consistently low council tax. And if you look back over the last 10 years, we've increased council tax by 9.7%, when at the same stage, inflation has been running at 32%. So all I'd say, Mr. Mayor, is I think this is a very brave budget. I think it's a well-balanced budget, and it delivers low and consistently low council tax to our residents. Thank you. Councillor Winnington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
You're in the wrong chamber.
Right chamber.
Right chamber.
Wrong meeting. First of all, I'd like, before I start,
what I'd like to say. Well, I'd just like to say thank you to Mike Smith. He's lived and breathed these budgets for years. And we've had some fairly robust conversations. And Mike's always impressed me with his sort of his stalwart way of dealing with things. And if he hits you wrong, he tells you you're wrong. I think we will miss you when you're not here anymore, because you have done a great job, and so I hope Cathy sort of looks after you as you deserve.
I hope we looks after Cathy as she deserves.
when we're in this chamber and we're talking about money and this money she was spent there and some money put over here, we sometimes forget this is about the taxpayer. It's the taxpayer's pound we're looking at. And to deliver a balanced budget which doesn't impact too much on our residents while they're in this cost of living crisis. And it is a crisis, it's not about making it, it's a lot to do with a certain gentleman in Russia and energy costs. But it is a taxpayer's money we're looking at, and it's important that we do what we can. And I think one thing we've not mentioned too much is this 5%. While inflation is running at 10%, we've held prices back to where possible 5%. And I think that's an important thing that we've got to look at. In terms of my portfolio, and this is really grown into a lot of rent, there has been a lot of staff loss. A lot of it's been down to staff illness and reorganisation. And I think it's important that when we start talking about staff, we don't denigrate the staff that are there now, because they are doing a fantastic job. The interims are coming in. They're coming in, but they're not just doing the day job. They're putting heart and soul into making sure that we deliver a good service again for our residents. So I'd like to thank the staff of the Staff Borough Council and also the staff of Veolia. Anyone who's sort of seen the big men in this cold weather, chugging through snow, ice, rain, whatever else, they really do a great job, and I don't think we actually give them enough applause for the great job they're doing. And the other thing, again, forgot to mention, as we go forwards, the new shared service, working with CANAC, we're going to have other opportunities, not just to do the job more efficiently, but to allow our staff to flourish and progress within the organisation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Mayor.
Anybody else? No. Councillor Smith.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry, Councillor McHugh was just.
Well, thank you.
Yes, Mayor. I think there's two ways of looking at council tax. You can look at it that it's a burden, that people don't really want to pay it, or you can look at it that it's an investment in people and in the public services. And those are two different philosophies, I guess. My philosophy is that we should invest in public services, and we should invest in the people who deliver the public services. And by not generating enough income, we're putting pressure on the people delivering those services, and we're denying the people who pay a council tax the services that I think they want. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anybody else before I call Councillor Smith? No, Councillor Smith.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. A good knockabout there. Councillor McHugh, invest, yes, but you must get value for money. That's what it's all about. When I was first a councillor, the officer said you must have value for money, you must demonstrate value for money. First of all, a couple of clarifications. Councillor Barron mentioned leisure and cutting on the tourism. What actually happened, and I don't know whether people remember, but this year you can see it's £10,000 more because we made a specific grant to the County Council. They asked us for an extra grant for tourism, and we gave it to them. And it, next year and the year after, it goes back down to the contribution that we give, as Councillor Beattie said, to Destination Staffordshire. And I used to sit on that as a becoming a member for leisure. And that is an organisation of people like Alton Towers, Drayton Manor and so on and so forth. They all meet together to promote Staffordshire, and that is our input into that. So there's been no cut, we just made an extra one-off grant this year. The other thing that was mentioned, that was Councillor McEwen as well, the Future High Street Fund. That is perfectly true what Councillor Beattie said, she actually answered it admirably, but what you missed is that that paragraph, which says it's a risk, that risk has been diminished because of what I said, we've been given a grant, and now it's been the need to borrow has been removed. So that risk has been diminished. I think that paragraph was in the early December report and it's not been changed, so that probably needs changing. I'm not going to say any more, I think it's all been said, Mr. Mayor. We're doing a 1.9% increase in council tax. I could say, you've actually told us that you never cut anything. What have I got here? Just put up previous. Members Digest 2002. Resources. This is your last budget. You were cutting £158,000 off resources, including £100,000 off staff costs. And it says, review of staffing levels to be achieved through natural wastage, early retirement, etc. Then, on the leisure pages, because I used to be on leisure, you were cutting £184,000, of which £40,000 was on a list of about eight things at the gatehouse. But you were also cutting £39,000 off Shakespeare. Did I say more, Mr. Mayor?
Probably had.
Right, okay. All in favour of the general fund loan project? Those against? Some of the raised concerns around the existing biodiversity within the site,
density of housing, the impact on the town centre, and limited focus on employment opportunities. There was support for the scheme, recognising the need for regeneration in this area, for creating jobs and attracting highly skilled people to the town, which will help to support new and existing businesses within the town centre. And revisions have been made in response. The framework is the visual, the illustrative master plan and set of design and development principles which will guide the future development of the gateway. Planning will follow follow-on from the vision. The purpose is to formalise the development proposals for the gateway and to guide its development in line with the emerging new local plan. The aim is to encourage high-quality mixed-use development to support economic growth of Stafford and the wider borough, provide new employment and leisure opportunities alongside aspirational housing to retain and attract new talent. We do not want bog standard housing, we want good design, we want really wonderful landscaping in this development. Sustainability is a key component with green spaces and designs to encourage more cycling and foot journeys. The framework is alert to the changes to the way in which we live and work. It sets clear expectations on future developers to bring forward planning applications that appeal to new business startups, to families and young professionals that respect and revitalize the community. We need well-designed, constructed and well-constructed homes to live in for the future. It incorporates climate change, enables nature restoration and opens opportunities for sustainable economic growth. Businesses will be attracted by the facilities, amenities and its location near the station. It offers more jobs all on the doorstep of the railway station. Since publication of the draft framework, planning applications have been submitted in respect of the proposed Newcastle and Stafford Colleges Group Institute of Technology, and that will be within the Parkhorne industrial estate area of the site. Whilst the planning applications are under consideration, the proposals are not reflected in any detail within the SRF. For this reason, Cabinet approved a delegation to officers to enable an update of the relevant sections of the SRF once the planning has been decided. The IoT is yet another example. Another example of the confidence of government and college in Stafford being a place to invest and deliver world-class facilities. It's an absolutely wonderful piece of news. Just finally, I should say that if you're referring to page 63, 5.15, the information in this stated that there are no TPOs in place across the site. This was raised at finally at Cabinet. It missed out the order of the Hollies, the Institute of the Hollies, as the strategic regeneration framework sets out an indicative vision for the site. There are no decisions being made on time layouts, design or parking, and along with trees, these issues will be fully considered as part of any future planning applications. Thank you, Mr.
Mayor. Is that seconded?
May I second it, please, Mr. Mayor, and reserve the right to speak.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's true that some of the respondents, and as you say, there were a great many respondents, did support the scheme, about a quarter of them, but over half were opposed to the scheme for various reasons. One of the main ones being the impact on biodiversity on the site. Now this is an area which is used by existing residents in Castle Fields and in Castle Town. Well used, I should add. And we have the 2,000 houses being built on Burley Fields in addition. So it's an area which is well used by people, and it's also an area rich in wildlife and biodiversity. And yet, it's proposed to develop practically every part of this site, apart of course from the actual dancing pond itself. So I have to ask the question. I know that there are proposals in the revised plan. There is some nod towards this. There is talk about the need to have 10% biodiversity net gain, but that's a legal requirement anyway. So I'm asking myself, where is the big change that is needed in response to this overwhelming opposition and concern that's been expressed through the consultation? Or is the consultation simply something that we do as part of the process, that we have to do? So that's my main concern about this. If you want to really protect biodiversity in this area, you've got to reduce the amount of houses and other buildings that are being proposed. Idiots. That's the only real way to do it. I know you can enrich other areas, but my concern is that too much of this is going to end up being off-site enhancements, because that's allowed for within planning regulations. The other aspect, of course, that there was a lot of concern about was the impact it would have on the town centre. It talks in the report about the potential to deliver 33,000 square feet of new office space. Now, this is at a time when we've got lots and lots of empty offices in the town centre, and also at a time when the demand for office space has declined considerably because so many people are working from home. And yet, we're told that the answer to all of this is to rename the New Western Gateway to Stafford to transformational regeneration that supports the town centre. Well, actually, if you build a load of new offices just outside the town centre, I don't really see how that can possibly be supporting the town centre. So I don't think it addresses that issue at all. And the amount of change that is set out in the revised document, in terms of the objections that were raised as far as biodiversity is concerned, I don't think answer it in any real positive way. Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to agree with Councillor Beard. We've lost so much in this area already in terms of biodiversity. It's right on my doorstep, and it's going to be awful when all of this is covered with houses and flats, etc. And a lot of local people are very unhappy about it. Just wondering whether people will go for a short walk. There's also a lot more information about old buildings, old cottages being left down in the area. People aren't happy about that already, before it's even really in black and white. So, you know, I would agree. I mean, some of those buildings have stood for over 100 years. And they're built on Burley Fields, and it goes right from the road that goes to Derrington, the path that goes to Derrington, right up to the castle. They've ripped out old hedgerows. It's absolutely dreadful what's happened over there. And I think it's going to go right back down into the town as well. You know, more destruction. It's awfully sad.
Councillor Wind.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually just think we should be applauded as a council for doing this consultation. And the fact that we're discussing it and going through what's there means that it is a consultation, not an information gathering exercise. So I know that the Cabinet and Council are not listening to what's being said. I would slightly agree with what's been said about office space. I personally think office space should be in town centres so that whoever's in the offices can then use the facilities, the shops and help for the regeneration. So I would agree on that point. In terms of the ecology, I think we sort of we're looking at the 1950s, where you have a little area that's for trees and a little area that's for newts and that thing. The ecology, it's a living, breathing organism, and it's got to be over the whole site. So it starts probably in the countryside, and we have pathways that come through. And when I've spoken to residents, they're really keen on green pathways. Now, I've been to lots of planning and conservation conferences where the two work together, and it's important that we put these pathways in place. And they talk about blue pathways, the water. So we've got water for the Banton Pond, that can be built into the exercise. Brown, now no one ever thinks about it, but actually the soil itself is a living organism, so we've got to make sure that the soil runs through the area so that microorganisms can actually sort of use those areas. I think this is a real opportunity to come forward with a development that is cutting edge, a development for the future, a development for the next generation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's very, very different to everybody else. Maybe it's just me, but this is just a vision. That's all this is. It's just a vision at this precise moment. As Burley Fields being mentioned here, Burley Fields, it comes between myself and Councillor Pearce's ward. When that came tonight, I called it in to a planning meeting. It changed from 2,200 houses to 1,500 houses. It changed to make a third of that space stay green space. So I absolutely disagree. I think Burley Fields is a lovely area, designed very well, with plenty of green space and play areas on site and biodiversity on site. This site, at the moment, it's a vision. When it comes down to the planning process, it will be again up to myself or Tony to call it to a planning meeting and make sure that 10% biodiversity net gain that is the law to have, to make sure it's on site, to make sure that we have got the green thread running through, to make sure there are trees kept on site, to make sure that it is a really brilliant site that is the gateway into Stafford. But that's our job. This is just a vision, and that's how I see it.
Anybody else? No? Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to comment on Councillor Pearce's observation on biodiversity net gain. As he very well knows and I know, 10% is the minimum, and it's not to say that we won't be looking at higher percentages of biodiversity net gain on this site. I understand everything that Councillor beside me has said, and it's absolutely true. What we have here is a brownfield site. Some of it has been contaminated in the past. We need to do something with it. It's a site that is deteriorating as it's not redeveloped. It's a massive opportunity to put our essential housing that we need for our young people and for older people, to put it onto brownfield land that's easily accessible in the town, rather than allowing developers to sprawl across the countryside and in suburban developments on the side of the town. It's an absolutely wonderful news story. We need the homes, and we need to use our brownfield, and we do need to be very mindful of biodiversity, and I sincerely hope that we will make that very clear as the scheme progresses. It's absolutely essential that we do that, and nobody's more passionate about that than I am. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I propose the approval. Mm-hmm.
All those in favour? Those against? Abstentions? Item 10, the Joint Appointment Committee. Councillor Farrington?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, and good evening to all. As you know, at our meeting in December, we agreed to sharing with a senior management team and the creation of a Joint Appointments Committee. And the purpose of this report is to read terms and conditions of the Joint Appointments Committee. I move, therefore, straight to the appendix on page 69, from which you will see that that committee comprises six members, three of whom should be from this authority. Ex officio, one of those appointments will be me as the leader, and so I propose, please, to you this evening, the appointment of myself, Councillor Firth, and Councillor Cook, in accordance with the Local Government Committees and Political Group Regulations as to the political makeup of that committee.
Is that second, Mr. Mayor? Anybody want to speak? No. Right, all in favour? Right, any items referred from the scrutiny committee?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, I declare the meeting closed.
Council, please, gentlemen, you've got standing. The Mayor, Sam Burrow, Councillor Philip Easton, Chief Tyres, and Councillor Taylor.